From WTIP News, this is the North Shore Weekend News Roundup. I'm Jay Anderson, and here are some of the stories we've been following this week. Today, one out of every 11 bridges that Minnesota motorists cross each day are likely to be deteriorating to some degree. Nearly 9% of bridges statewide are rated structurally deficient, according to government standards, compared to 11.5% nationwide. Cook County has 49 bridges under its maintenance. 7, or just over 14%, are deemed structurally deficient. David Betts is the county's highway engineer.
Structural deficiency can be, in the case of a culvert, if the bottom is rotted out. It can be geometrics on the roadway, which would be if the road is wider than the actual bridge crossing. That can be a deficient bridge, and lots of things. And then all the way up to the bridge is getting ready to fail. We don't have any bridges like that in Cook County that are in danger of failing, but we do have bridges that need to get worked on.
Federal law requires states to inspect all bridges 20 feet or longer at least every 2 years.
We go through and do our ratings, a certain number of our bridges every year. A bridge for the public, so that they know, is anything over 10 feet. So if I have 2 5-foot culverts side by side for a creek crossing, that's considered a bridge. All the way up to the bridges that we've got crossing the Cascade River and things like that. So it's a big range of what's there. So it can be just steel pipe bridges, and most of our bridges are actually steel pipe bridges.
There are more bridges than the 49 maintained by the County Highway Department.
The 49 number is just in on county-owned roads. That wouldn't include township roads, wouldn't include private roads. It would not include 61, would not, any of the bridges on 61 wouldn't include any of the Forest Service bridges.
The city of Silver Bay wants to forge new ground on the North Shore. They have an ambitious plan to transform the city's existing business park from run-of-the-mill to state-of-the-art.
It's a project to essentially take what is now the current business park and transform it into an eco park by way of industrial clustering, and through renewable energy, take the park and its heat and power needs off the grid.
That's Bruce Carman. He's the project coordinator working with the City of Silver Bay to develop what they're calling an eco-industrial business park. The park would be energy self-sufficient, using heat and power generated from a city-owned biomass energy plant.
The means to heat and power through renewable energy, locally produced renewable energy, provides a more stable environment in that you can predict an energy cost to a specific business. That has an immediate bottom line effect in terms of increased profit.
There are also plans for greenhouses producing fresh vegetables, fish, and algae for biodiesel production.
Well, it's essentially designed or conceived around the flow of water. Initially, the water starts in the fish tanks, and that water becomes nutrient enriched through the waste produced by the fish. That water then essentially goes from the fish tanks to some hydroponic troughs where we would be looking at growing lettuce, tomatoes, herbs.
The anchor of the park is the biomass heat and power facility owned by the City of Silver Bay. But for the city to own a public utility, the citizens must approve it, and there's a vote coming up on May 10th.
Republicans on Monday proposed to take about one half of the Iron Range Resources and Rehabilitation Board's Economic Development Fund to help fill a projected $5 billion state budget shortfall. That move has made Iron Range lawmakers mad as hornets. They characterize it as a raid on range property tax funds. The IRRB, including the Douglas J. Johnson Protection Trust Fund, being targeted by GOP leadership, is fueled by taconite production money paid by mining companies in lieu of property taxes. District 6A Representative David Dill testified in committee earlier this week.
Well, it could have some devastating effects. I think the most important thing to first realize is that the mines do not pay property taxes. The mines pay a production tax based on the amount of taconite that they produce per ton. The tax on a ton is roughly $2.30 a ton, It amounts to about $100 million a year, and that goes into a formula that's been in law for years, so much for the counties, so much for the cities, so much for the towns, and so much to the school district, and so much for the Doug Johnson Fund, and so much for the Taconite Environmental Protection Fund, and then the balance goes to the IRRRB specifically for their operations. That's our local property taxes.
If the mines instead paid property taxes, Dill said the result would be devastating for Cook County.
If we didn't have the production tax, then the mines would pay property taxes, and they pay it to the county that the mines are located in. So Cook County would be devastated by this if that were to be the case, because you don't have a mine.
The Douglas J. Johnson Fund is the money IRRRB uses to fund area development projects.
There's about $122 million in the Doug Johnson Fund. We spend a huge amount of money every year, which constitutes the interest off of the Doug Johnson Fund, to fund economic development. And there's projects all over Cook County. There's projects all over. In fact, I said in committee yesterday that you cannot drive on a blacktop road in my legislative district and not drive by someplace that hasn't received IRRRB economic development money.
Dill said the funds are invested in various stock portfolios. If the current proposal was implemented and the market took another dive, it would leave virtually nothing for development.
So now let's say that they take $60 million of the $122 million. I mean, that will leave us $62 million. And let's say that the stock market went down like it did in 2007 and cut our fund in half, we'd have $31 million left. I mean, if we take the interest off of $31 million today, the interest is 2% roughly, we wouldn't have enough money to even fund one good project, let alone the number that we're funding. I mean, this is devastating.
You've been listening to the North Shore Weekend News Wrap-Up. To hear more from the WTIP News team and to check out the full versions of our stories, visit us at WTIP.org. For North Shore Community Radio, I'm Jay Anderson, wishing you a great weekend.